welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargin. Fred Monroe is hosting the program from home today. Joining Fred today are the organizers of the Women's March San Luis Obispo. After the 2017 Women's March brought out 5 million people worldwide, this effort continues annually with its focus on human rights and social justice. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. Call 805-549-8855 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. I'll give it to you, Fred.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm glad we're with you all today, and it's a beautiful time to be talking about social justice and women's rights and the Women's March, and the theme for this event this year is Power Up Democracy. As Rachel mentioned, and I'll reiterate, in 2017, women felt like there was a difficult time being heard and understood once again for women in our political realm. And the issue really goes beyond partisan politics. It goes to whether or not we really understand and appreciate human rights and justice. With me today are Andrea Chomlik, Don Addis, and Rita Cassavetti. I blow names all the time. They are the organizers of the Women's March San Luis Obispo, and we're going to talk about their upcoming march, which is a virtual rally this year. And I want to know how we do a virtual rally, but I understand it's going to happen on January 23rd at 10:30 in the morning, so we'll hear about that. We have talked about this topic before. We will talk about it again many, many times. And frankly, when we look at women's suffrage and the political arena, we've been talking about it for over 100 years, and it shouldn't have been that way. I guess I'll throw it out to you, folks. What is the focus for you this year and going forward? What are your goals, and what are you looking at on the horizon?
Hi, Fred. Thank you for having us today. Thank you to everybody who's listening. I have to open with just a memory, because I remember when it was my first time at KCBX talking about that upcoming first Women's March in San Luis Obispo, which happens to be exactly 4 years ago. Today is the anniversary. And I remember I was so nervous. It was my first time on live radio. I thought I was going to pass out in your studio, just right there under the table. And it was such a great experience. And it's just everything that happened since was an incredible experience. So I just wanted to open with that, because there are so many memories and so many good things and good people that we've met along the way. We have decided for this year to go with Power Up Democracy because of what we've seen happening over the past 4 years. And we felt like every year we had a theme that we hoped would motivate people to get involved, that we hoped would set their hearts on fire so they would feel invested in building a positive and just future with us. And when we were thinking about what would be the focus of 2021, we just felt very strongly that we need to focus on what democracy looks like, which way it's going, who needs to be included in building and strengthening it going forward.
You know, I don't think no one I know is happy with anything that happened to challenge democracy on the 6th of January. But I think that, and I hate to say this, but I can't think of a better way to word it. That was a terrible experience. There are people who died, but it also has us becoming more aware of how fragile democracy is. Frankly, it may be stereotypical, but I think oftentimes we need more women in the arena to understand what fragility is, because sometimes The egos and the aggression of male personalities gets in the way of understanding that. So I commend what you're doing, and I'm sorry we're having to discuss it from this angle, because as the father of three daughters, I have to tell you that when they ask me, or we talk about why in the world there was nobody at the table during the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution who had a first name that resembled theirs at all, I cannot give them a very good answer other than a struggle for power. So I commend what you do. And I guess your perspectives on how that has fit, or really not fit, how that has challenged in a positive way the discussion you're having about why powering up for democracy is critical.
Well, it's so interesting, Fred, that we talk about January 6th, because each year, as an organizing body, we've always asked ourselves, are we still relevant? Do we still need to march? Does the public still look to us for the things that we do? And we started out, the first march was Hear Our Voice. And I think you alluded to that at the beginning about women's voices really needed to be heard after one of the most qualified candidates in U.S. history lost the election. And then in the next year, it was Hear Our Vote, and that was during the midterms. And you're really trying to convey the idea of it's not good enough to speak out from the outside. You also have to be on the inside leading. And then it was Truth to Power, and then The Time Is Now was last year. And so when we came to this year and seeing the first woman ever elected vice president was a huge win. So we had to come back to the table and say, are we still relevant? Are we still, you know, what exactly are we still working for, showing up for, speaking up for? And one of the pieces that we came to was that our democracy isn't yet truly representative of America, and that we have a lot of work to do. And then January 6th happened, and we realized that not only is our democracy not fully representative, but our democracy has really been pushed back on its heels by the attacks on our institutions and our elected officials. And so this idea of powering up democracy covers all of the things that you've just said: getting more women elected, getting more people of color elected, getting more LGBT representatives elected, but also restoring faith in our democratic institutions and having people know that this is the people's government. It's not, the government doesn't exist for itself or by itself. It exists for and by the people. And so this year, Power Up Democracy, especially since January 6th, I think has taken on a whole new meaning for us.
Yeah, especially thinking that the choices that we are making today, like you guys mentioned at the intro of this segment, is what is going to shape the community of tomorrow, is what we just have to keep in mind. You know, the choices that were made in 1919 have shaped the results that we've seen in 2020 elections, and just the overall political process, but it also how much representation we have in females everywhere, in political spaces and not political spaces. So we just have to, I think, our question of are we still relevant? I think it's a female question. I don't know if men ask themselves so much if they're still relevant as often as we do. I just heard someone else, another female, ask that question yesterday, if she was still relevant, if her work was still relevant. So I think we just have to accept that we are relevant and that we continue being relevant, and our voices have to be heard. You know, every year, maybe with a different topic, but the issues continue being the same. What we saw on January 6th is nothing new. It's just new to maybe the last couple of decades at this level. But we have seen it before. We have seen it in more in the South. We have seen it in the 1860s. We have seen it before. This is nothing new. It's just like MLK said, the arc of history, or the just of history is long, I believe, but it bends towards justice. And we're still on that arc. There's still a lot of work to do. And January 6th, I think, was shocking for people that have not seen it firsthand. But it's present, and it's also present in our community. As an immigrant woman, I've seen it in SLO County. I've experienced, I've seen the flags, I've seen the behavior. So it was not as shocking, maybe, as to some of the people that have not experienced it firsthand, attacking their own institutions. So we just have to continue fighting it. You know, we're still in that arc.
Based upon the last 4 years, I would suspect that there's an awful lot of people who believe what you're doing as an organization, what you're doing as a challenge to our status quo, is seen for a lot of people as very partisan. That comes up a lot. Everybody talks about what the demographic breakdown is of gender, of ethnic background, of religious background for given segments of the voting population. And my hunch is that for a lot of people, it's very easy to dismiss the Women's March process as, oh, just being some more liberals that happen to be women who are out there rattling the political cage. I suspect you have to respond to it often. I suspect your response is probably far better than mine.
It's so funny because we get that from all sides, honestly. We get that from what some might seem a right side of where we stand, but we also get a lot of pressure from what people see as the left side of us, you know. And there's always that pressure of, why don't we appeal to everyone? And it's again that belief that I think comes from a patriarchal system of, we're always held to higher standards, and supposedly we have to fit to please everyone, and that there are just different spaces to fit different people and different causes. I think what Women's March has been pushing forward from the beginning is, you have a voice, you can create your own space, and you can create change from that space. And we encourage that from everyone to everyone. Just find their space, find their group, find their people, and push for the causes that matter to them, regardless of what they are.
My hunch is, when you get the opportunity, maybe a very good group to talk to is conservative men who have intelligent, vocal daughters about what they want for their daughters. And I'm wondering whether or not that gains you any converts to the discussion.
I think it's Rita
pointed out. I think, go ahead. I was just going to say that, you know, you brought up a lot of different things, demographics, ethnicity, religion. None of that actually is partisan. So, you know, folks are drawn to things that resonate with them. And when it comes to politics, I think, you know, different parties have different platforms, and that's fine. And different groups are going to be drawn in different ways. I don't think, though, that for Women's March, the reason I've always said it's not a partisan issue is, regardless of your politics, you can believe in a woman's right to choose. That's not dictated by your politics or your political party. That's dictated by who you are and what you believe for yourself. Regardless of your politics, you can believe in climate action. You can believe in social and racial justice. You can believe in living wage for workers. That doesn't have to be dictated by politics. That's about your own personal beliefs. And from your own personal beliefs, you decide where to go. And so Women's March really doesn't require anyone to have any kind of political affiliation or persuasion. But we do have a mission and a set of unity principles where we lay out, you know, specifically what we, you know, what the organization believes in. and welcome folks to join in with that. And I think the more, one of the strengths that we've had over the years is it's not an all or nothing. There might be issues that people align with, and that's why they come out to march. I've had people say, like, I come to march because Women's March isn't just about women. It's about social justice or whatever. And, you know, you can kind of find what fits for you regardless of your gender and your politics.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why the movement also has been so successful is that it has provided an umbrella of different issues. Feminism is not just female. It's really about equality, equality across the board. And so I think that's why so many people have found a space under the Women's March umbrella and has led to so many other movements to take on and take shape. You know, it's the first Women's March, yes, was a response of what had happened in 2016 elections and just making sure that there was a unified, strong civil response and keeping accountability to elect the leaders. But it was, I don't think no one knew what was going to come out of it. And it has been so nice to see that so many groups were born from that movement and saw the power of their voices and coming together. So I think, like Dawn said, we don't necessarily appeal to specific political affiliations. Some will feel more at home under the umbrella than others. We can't help that, but I think that just applies to absolutely everything. And there's a spectrum, right, under conservatism and liberalism. So everyone's welcome.
Yes, and I think what brought people to this movement and how it got started in 2016 was really the response to the misogyny that was exposed so clearly. And for many people, that was not new, but there are a lot of people that have never experienced it in this way before. And that's why they felt compelled to come out and to push back and to make their voices heard. We've seen a lot of that this summer, right? The Black Lives Matter movement is not new. The issues are not new. And there's a lot of people who've lived with that their whole lives. For those people, this is not new. But for many of us, we have never seen it in this way before. And so, you know, with that said, yes, Women's March San Luis Obispo and Women's March movement has a mission. We have our unity principles on the website, but they relate to issues and to that intersection of how these issues affect women and people. Because it's not just one issue that affects us, right? And especially as women, I mean, we have different issues with employment now. In the COVID crisis, we see how much we have to deal with childcare and home care and access to healthcare. And so it just became really clear once people saw something that they had not seen before personally, that there's a lot that we need to do if we want to build a world or, you know, our country that is just for everybody.
Before we continue the discussion, I want to remind folks that they can be part of this conversation. Give us a call at 805-549-8855, or you can email your questions or observations to voices@kcbx.org. If you have a long, elaborate question or topic you'd like to look at that we don't have time to get to on the air, I'll make sure that it gets forwarded on to our guests. You know, some of the things that you might, as listeners and people to share from the community, have you been part of the march before, you know, and have you, what do you consider to be the most pressing issues for women in 2021 and beyond? And those are the kind of things that we would like to talk about. And this is a program for voices on the Central Coast, not just the voices in the studio with us. So give us a call or an email, 805-549-8855. You can email at voices@kcbx.org and be part of that discussion. One of you briefly mentioned earlier the issue that sometimes crosses over a lot of partisan and political divides, and that is a woman's right to choose related to abortion. I want to share with you the thing that I have heard for, I'm almost 70 years old. The thing that I have heard for at least 40 of the 70 years of my life is that the people who believe that that's a choice that women shouldn't have seem to be some of the most conservative members of our community who also believe that the government should stay out of individual choices all the time. It's to use it from a standpoint of, I can't imagine there are too many true dyed-in-the-wool libertarians who can give you a good answer as to why they would not support a woman's right to choose. So I suspect that's a topic, even though for a lot of us, we took for granted that it had gone away, in, at least in the state of California and in states that are paying attention to this. It's still a topic that needs to be addressed, and it's obviously a topic that primarily affects women. Have you seen as an organization, and have your peers in the movement in other communities seen some members of the more conservative side of our political spectrum marching with you based upon that particular issue? Has it come up? I would assume it probably has.
Well, I can tell you from my personal experience with a person who identifies themselves as a conservative, and obviously this is just an anecdote. But I, you know, got to talk to them at one of our events, and you know, their response was, "I do not support abortion, but there are so many other ways in which we can support women's healthcare, and that's why I am here." So I wouldn't lump everybody together. I know that we tend to generalize, and in some ways, it is truthful to a certain point. But I think that there is, based on data, I think that most Americans support women's right to choose. I think that most people support Roe v. Wade. I think that this is a conversation that has been had for centuries now, and we're not done with it yet. But there are so many ways in which we can keep working towards bettering women's lives and towards giving them the opportunity to actually be in charge of their bodies and their lives. And this is a part of it.
Yeah, and I think it's just hard sometimes to go into the acrobatics of, well, but if you think that way on this issue, and why don't you think the other way on this issue? I can speak for myself. I've only been in the equality feminist activist movement since 2016. But those 4 years for me have been enough on those conversations. And I've learned that what the path that I want to follow and where I want to put my energy is on getting more leaders elected that will make change in the law over whether we rule over women's bodies and put that discussion to rest, because currently we don't have any law that rules over men's bodies. And that's probably because we have had men ruling for so long. So I'd rather put my energy on changing who's making the rules, just so we can stop those acrobatics, because it's very tiring sometimes.
I was just going to add, you know, we wouldn't know if someone is there at the march who's conservative and believes in abortion or not. You know, the person who's there would know, because they're welcome to look at our unity principles and our mission statement, and we publicize that a lot. In fact, at the first march in 2017, we used to get these questions all the time. Can I come to the march if I'm a man? Yes. Mm-hmm. Can I come to the march if I don't identify as a woman, but I, you know, identify as trans or non-binary? Of course. Can I come to the march if I don't believe abortion should be legal? And it's, well, here's our set of unity principles. This is our guiding document. You're welcome to take a look and decide if this event is right for you. It's not for us to obligate somebody to come or not come or believe or not believe. It's for us to provide a platform and a venue for people to come together and to work for a more just future. And that's always been a huge piece of what we do, is provide a platform for people to come together. And I would say that the conversation at the march is much more about just how happy people are to see one another. And it's one of the thing, one of the reasons that we're doing this again on January 23rd in a virtual setting, is because when people come together yearly and they get to see one another, they get to interact, they get to find that community, listen to music, there's a lot of hope and inspiration. And they also get to mix that with, and how do we create a better future? That gives folks kind of that shot in the arm to keep going. So that's one of the big reasons that we've decided to do that again this year, is to provide that venue for folks, even though we can't be in person physically.
And that's actually one of the things that drew me to the Women's March. I was not an organizer the first two marches in SLO. I was just an attendee. And obviously, as most people around the world that join a Women's March, the first year that it happened, I walked in and realized that there were so many more people that agree with me, that in my case, immigrants are welcome here. And it just felt so nice, such a happy, warm moment, especially for the times. And I think that's what we provide. If it's just a place where people, we're not trying to change people's minds. We're just trying to confirm to other people that think, that have similar thinking as us, that there is a space for them. And that's really all that we can do.
In the information that you shared with me before the program, so we can look at how we were addressing this, one of the things that you mentioned was that one of the misconceptions seems to be that people think that women are already under all circumstances equal, and that somehow women have more rights than men. I'm curious as to where that misconception comes from, because, well, I don't believe it, but I can't quite understand why anybody would.
Well, it's like one of those things, right? That some people think equal rights are a pie and you can only get one piece for yourself, which is not true, obviously. It is not something that is going to take away from people. However, that is, I think, the common misconception. People like to hold on to their privilege, whether they realize it or no, and they feel that perhaps if the other people get the same rights, then they will be treated differently. So we know that women didn't have a right to vote, right, 100 years ago. And I think if we look at that example, a lot of men felt like, you know, their lives are going to change if women get a right to vote. They should not have it because it's going to take something away from them. I think it's this sort of a misconception that builds into different narratives. And we know that it is not true. We know that the more people can participate, the more ideas we can bring to the table, the more diverse ideas we can bring to the table, the better we can function as a society, the better we are with new ideas and implementing them. So I think a part of it is just that, you know.
The other thing is that even in the 1900s, when women were fighting for the right to vote and white women got it, there were white women that were going to benefit from the right to vote that were very well organized against the voting rights of women. So we're always going to have that, I think, even when you would think it would have been obvious, you know, hindsight is 2020. And you would think that every white woman that were going to get the right to vote were going to be supportive. It wasn't like that back then. So we're always going to have that pushback, and that's just something that we have to deal with.
I think it's an ongoing discussion to try and explain to people that even a significantly large portion of our population can still be part of an oppressed class of people. And my hunch is that that's a hard thing to explain to a lot of people. I think for a lot of people to understand why the phrase Black Lives Matter can't just be interchanged with All Lives Matter becomes a very difficult issue. And my hunch is it's an issue with regard to what you address and the challenges you get from, you know, the larger community. I don't want to make that go away. I'd like to talk about it a little further, but I got reminded we need to do a quick break here. We'll be back with you in about 45 seconds or a minute to continue the program with our guests. We're talking about the Women's March in San Luis Obispo, and we'd like you to be part of the discussion if you'd like to. Also, you can get us at voices@kcbx.org or 805-549-8855 and make yourself part of this discussion. We'll be right back.
This is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX, serving South Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties, and we're always streaming live at kcbx.org. Thanks for tuning in for Central Coast Voices. If you have questions you want to have answered, you can send them to us, voices@kcbx.org, or call them in at 805-549-8855. It's 1:32. Latino USA is coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll continue now with Central Coast Voices right here on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Rachel. If you're just joining us, we are talking with the organizers and ongoing focusers, if you will, of the Women's March in San Luis Obispo. It is going to be on January 23rd at 10:30 in the morning. Thinking about that for the moment, maybe what we need to discuss right now is how we're doing a virtual march and what the involvement is with that, because if you gave me an address of a park to show up at, that would be easy to do, even though I know I shouldn't show up at a park in a group during COVID. How do we do a virtual rally or a virtual march?
So we are not going to be doing a march this year because we want to make sure that we are keeping everybody safe. COVID-19 is spread wildly in our community, and it is our absolute priority to keep people healthy, to keep them out of the hospital, to keep our healthcare workers in the best position they can be, because we all know that it's been horrible on all of them. We are going to, however, have a virtual rally. We have been at home for quite a while now, so we've all learned how to adapt and progress in different ways. And so we are actually really excited. You know, it's going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be quite the same. But we believe that people can bring their energy even to a virtual event. We are going to have amazing speakers. We have a great lineup. We have Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis, who is the first woman Lieutenant Governor elected in California. We have California State Senators Hannah Beth Jackson, Connie Leiva, and Monique Limon. And we have Patricia Solorio, Courtney Haley, who founded Race Matters Slow, and Naya Williams, who is a founder of the Black Student Union at Paso Robles High School. And who am I missing out? California State Controller Betty Yee. So we have an amazing lineup of great speakers. We will have some music. We have Diane Sousa coming back again. She's been with us since the very first March. She writes an original poem for every one of those. And we are going to be streaming live on YouTube and on Facebook Live. All this information can be found on womensmarchslow.com. And we are just making it work. We are not giving up. We're marching forward, even if it's in our own homes. And we're going to do it this way.
I'll remind listeners.
And we have...
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, you go. You go, Fred.
I want to remind listeners that even though it's sometimes difficult to scribble down actual web addresses quickly on from a radio program, if you just Google Women's March and SLO, you will find the page. And that's the link. The link is there. Some of us have discovered that Google works faster than we do, and so we rely on that a lot. But looking forward to for your people to get more information that way. Dawn, I stepped on your comments. Sorry about that.
Oh, I was just going to say that we've woven in some things that are fun and inspirational, and people may see themselves as part of the event, and we're excited for folks to have that touch of inspiration this year. Jennifer Ford and I are going to MC, and we were just in studio yesterday working on some things, so that was exciting. And we've just really tried to blend in the joyful parts of coming together with the Women's March, as well as the things that will help people get engaged. And in some circles, they talk about just making a 1% difference every day. If you want to, you know, change the world, then every day, if you just do things 1% differently or 1% better. And so one of the hopes is that people will come on January 3rd, 23rd, that they'll log on at 10:30, and they'll hear something that gets them to make that 1% difference that they can carry into 2021. Because as exciting as it is to have the first woman vice president, there's still so much work to do across 2021, and it can feel either exhausting, like, thank goodness we just got through yesterday, I don't want to get out of bed and do anything for a while. Or, oh my gosh, things were really on the edge of falling apart, I'm exhausted, I don't want to think about this anymore. And so part of the march is getting that energy back and just thinking about that one small change that you want to make to be involved across the next year.
Yeah, and I really hope that it proves that all the women that are going to be speaking, as amazing as they are, as groundbreaking trailblazers on their own spaces, are just women that wake up and don't want to wake up, have to make their own coffee and have to get to work and, you know, put one step forward. And it's just women, even us organizers, you know, we just saw something that inspired us and took action. And hopefully that's something that we can get through in the virtual format as well. It can be hard, but just a huge shout out to the team that has been behind this whole production. Huge shout out to one of our organizers, Terry Perry, who just has been completely invested into this production. So thank you for that.
Hopefully, I think you will probably get people who can come to a virtual event that may not be able to come to an in-person event, even if we were not dealing with COVID. What we've seen over the last year, both doing the radio program and other things I've been involved in that have been using Zoom and other platforms, is that people will show up when all they have to do to participate is walk down the hall to their computer or turn on an app on their phone. So that brings up the question I want to maybe not go unanswered, and that is, the program starts at 10:30. How long during the day is it running, and can people drop in and drop out? I believe the answer to drop in and drop out is probably pretty clear, but I want to make sure nobody gives us a good excuse for not showing up, because there aren't any good excuses.
It's about an hour long. And just on that note of people coming, if, you know, they might not have been able to in person, the Lieutenant Governor is a perfect example of that. So, you know, we are so fortunate in San Luis Obispo to have the Lieutenant Governor be part of our event. And we have a number of other speakers that Andrea mentioned, Naya Williams. She's off at college And so, you know, she's able to participate because this is via an online platform and activists from Santa Barbara that are able to participate. So it's both on the presentation end and the participant end that people can tune in from all over the world, really. But the program is about an hour long. So we tried to put it at a time of day where you didn't have to get out of bed too early. And you can still have the rest of your day, as many people do. They like to show up to the march around 10, and then they like to go get lunch afterwards. So you can still go get takeout for lunch. Just don't stay at the restaurants and still go have a beautiful Saturday day afterwards.
Yeah, we definitely put thought into that. We like our sleep. So we are taking care of everyone on that aspect. But the other thing about making it virtual, like you mentioned, it's going to be accessible to people that might not have been able to come before. But we're also so lucky that we didn't have this march and we didn't have to figure it out like back in March last year, right? That would have been a nightmare, and so much respect to all the teachers that did have to figure it out, did have to find a way to continue educating our kids in a virtual format. So we're just so lucky that by now so many people have jumped into the Zoom and virtual world that it'll be easier for everyone. But we're just shout out to all the teachers out there that are listening and that had to deal with the nightmare of going virtual.
It's good to hear that our lieutenant governor is going to be there, because we've actually interviewed her on the program. She has done an incredible job of making sure that some of the smaller, more semi-rural counties of the state of California don't get unnoticed, don't go unnoticed. And so that's a good person to have as part of the discussion. And that'll be a wonderful program from that standpoint. So what do you think 2021 politically is going to do to move the bar for women in the way you want? Everybody's grabbing hold of the fact that we now have a woman as vice president of the United States. And I want to interject, and a president who's made it very clear that vice president is an equal strong voice in that administration. I think that says as much for a lot of us as the fact that she's there, and that is that no one is trying to push her off to the side under any circumstances. But what are you looking at beyond that great feat of yesterday for this year and beyond?
Well, I would like to say that we also need to celebrate how we got here, because since that march in January of 2017, we had the most women running for office and winning seats. We have the largest number of women in Congress. Diversity looks completely different than it did before. And so I think that we truly need to look at and celebrate what we can do when we get together and when we organize and when we dream that future that has everybody in place there, and that we can do it, you know? We can achieve so much more. And so when we got together in 2016, we came together because we had this need to do something, but I don't know if anybody at the time knew what that something is. And as we went step by step, we realized, okay, we have to do this and this and that to get us from point A to B. And so we saw 2018 was called the year of the woman, right? Because it was the highest number of women that ran for office and won. And we broke the record in 2020. And so, you know, what's next? Well, we just keep going. We don't want to get pushed back, because that is another thing. People take a lot of victories for granted when we're there, right? This is the same thing with democracy. This is the same thing with representation. This is the same thing with any kind of rights you can think of. People think that once we achieve something, then it's set in stone and it's not going to be taken away. It's not going to be chipped away. But in the last 4 years, and I am going to focus on democracy just because it is the theme of our event. If we got any example of how that can be chipped away and taken away from us slowly, we need to stay vigilant. We need to continue doing what we're doing. Find a passion. Find that one thing that you are so passionate about that it really matters to you, that affects your life, and throw yourself into. Get people elected, run for office, do show up at events, organize your community. So we're going to continue doing what we have done before and make sure that we are still moving in the right direction.
Andrea, I believe that list may sound overwhelming for some folks. So I'm glad you have a long list. Please keep that list active. But that, as you read it, as I'm saying, there's too much here to think about. But thank you very much.
Everybody who feels overwhelmed, who is not sure how to get started, who feels like they want to participate but don't know how, please reach out to us. We have done this. We didn't know how we were going to do things, but we figured it out and we learned something along the way and we'd love to pass it on. You know, if you feel like there is something you're passionate about, you want to start something in your community, but you're not sure how, Women's Martial Law is here for you. Just reach out.
Yeah. And just, I remember the first time that I went out to like help register voters. I was not a citizen. I didn't know the requirements to register people to vote. I was literally learning by someone else that had learned it on my way to my first door. So it you just learn in the way, and no one knows all the answers or how to do everything. Luckily, I think Women's March, especially in San Luis Obispo, has created this space where so many women now have learned and are so willing to share that knowledge. So yeah, like Andrea mentioned, just contact us.
And Fred, you know, you asked what's happening for 2021, and I just keep thinking about all the images that cascaded across Facebook yesterday of little kids going up to the TV screen. I'm going to cry. You know, when Kamala Harris is getting sworn in. And you think about the impact that has on families, on moms and dads, you know, on sisters and brothers, to see little kids who finally can see themselves in the future in a whole new and different way. And then you listen to Amanda Gorman, I'm going to say her name wrong, but the poet Amanda, one of the things she said in that poem is we have to have the courage to have hope ourselves. We can't just talk about hope for other people. And so as we think about what's the work to do across 2021, it's to keep, in my mind, it's to keep the hope that we're going to continue to create the future for all those little kids who were touching the screen yesterday, that it's a very, very long road to an equitable democracy, to a democracy that's truly representative. And that's a piece of the work for 2021, is to make sure that we keep stepping forward, because we did have a year of the woman before, back in the 80s, after Anita Hill, and California then elected two senators, two women senators. And now we have one woman senator. So we think about the gains that had been made since the 80s, and what Andrea just said about, you know, those gains can always change. And so as, you know, we have to continue the work we've done, but we have to have hope that we can go even farther.
I want to defend the fact that we may only have one female senator right now, but that's because we lost one to the vice presidency.
And I want to defend the fact that one group shouldn't have to give up a gain they've made just to go farther.
Mm-hmm. Quite well taken, Dawn, and I will not forget that was the answer. So thank you. Rita, you had something to add?
No, I was just nodding. I think that also happened at the Senate level, right? Like that one change, I believe we lost Black representation in the Senate because that senator had to be a vice president. So we will be in a position where we don't have to give up or lose representation. We're making more space at the table and building new tables and bringing new chairs.
Yeah.
I didn't come up with that, by the way. That was Cori Bush. Cori Bush tweeted that out. She's a new congresswoman.
Amazing.
A new congresswoman. She ran three times. She won the third time. And this was her election to win. And it's one of the first things she said about our new vice president is we shouldn't have to give up one thing just to get another.
Yeah. Part of this process, as you're talking about the women who have now been seated in Congress, I think for those people who may think this is only a liberal or conservative issue, which it is not, a good portion of the women who have been seated in Congress in the last 4 to 6 years are Republicans. Mm-hmm. So the women's voice on both sides of the aisle seems to be a rather active thing to pay attention to. We're down to our last few minutes, and I want to make sure, as our regular listeners know, I do my best to make sure that the last word doesn't get stepped on by me. Rita, why don't we start with you? What do you want to make sure that people don't forget about going into this march and about the way you're focused on this?
Yeah, I just thank you so much for the space and the opportunity to be here and talking to all of your listeners. And we're just so thankful to everyone that has put time into producing the Saturday event, 10:30 a.m. You can find us on YouTube or Facebook. Just look up Women's March and you'll be able to find us, Women's March San Luis Obispo. But thank you to our speakers that are going to be there, and some of them I know are listening right now to us. And thank you to all the people that are planning on attending, and really the people that have been with us since day one. We had a happy hour, I believe, a week ago. Time is weird these days. There was just so much excitement and so much support, and we really owe so much to you guys. So I think our hearts are full from yesterday of breaking ceilings, but there's so much work to do, and we have to continue supporting each other across party lines, across positions, and just see these issues as what they are. They're issues that we all share. And, you know, when COVID hit, it has hit women in ways that we didn't imagine, has hit women economically in ways that we didn't realize. But it just exposed a lot of issues that were somewhat hidden by the busyness and by the day-to-day. There's just so much work that we need to do across the board. And I really hope that we continue doing it together as a community and continue tackling issues as a community. So I hope to see the community on Saturday.
Your thoughts? Andrea, your thoughts?
When we first came together in January 2017, we didn't quite know what to expect from the event, what was going to happen. But the one message that we got back that sounded the loudest really was the message of hope. It was the message of people realizing that there is a community here for them, that there is a possibility for a future that they want to see. And so my hope is that this event is going to be the same. It's going to be an event where we will get together again as a community to remind ourselves why we are here. And I'm hoping to see new faces and new people who are ready to get to work, and we will, you know, celebrate. We will remember that we are in this together, and we will roll up our sleeves and get started the very next day.
Dawn, your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to echo Rita's thank you for Central Coast Voices, always seeing Women's March as one of those voices, and women's marchers, more importantly. We're just the organizers, but it's really everyone that shows up that makes a difference. And I would just add on that I think it's a really important point what Rita just said, that, you know, COVID has hit women in ways that nobody knew would happen, many of them economically. But it doesn't mean that men's lives got any better. When women lose their economic power, families lose their economic power, and that affects everybody. And I would say it's the same with just about all of the issues that Women's March works on. These are issues that, as we uplift women, we uplift entire communities. And so I hope that for folks out there that are wondering if Women's March is for them, what we've always said is it is. All you have to do is tune in this time. You don't even have to show up in person. just tune in and you'll see just how much it is for each of you. And so thank you, Fred, for giving us a voice to be able to share that with the community.
I'm glad we can do this. I'm glad we can be part of the discussion. It's been, I believe the first time you were on the show, Don, was right before the March in 17. And I appreciate what you've put forward. It's, you know, we're about adding to the voices in the community. And when we can have voices like all three of you to add to the community, I think that's wonderful. I would also remind our listeners that they can show up at a virtual event and stay further under the radar if they feel a need to than they can at a physical event, especially in a small community like San Luis Obispo County. I was thinking about your comment earlier about whether or not people get recognized or known for their political persuasion. I suspect that in small counties like ours, it's far harder to hide than it is in LA or San Francisco or a large community like that. So the fact that some people may get to hide for this Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, I would suspect that they can still do that. I thank you all three for joining us today. This is Central Coast Voices. Let me remind you that next week, Chris Kington Barker will be back. She's examining or working with San Luis Obispo County to examine the ongoing response to COVID. Joining Chris is epidemiologist Ann McDowell and Michelle Shoresman, who is the county division manager of public health and the public information officer. They're going to share the latest updates and ongoing efforts related to COVID-19 vaccines task force effort in our county to further facilitate the delivery of vaccines. We are still in the infancy, unfortunately, of that process going on, even though the county announced this week that they'll be adding a third location, and that's good to know. That will be Chris's program next week. Please join her, and I'll be back with you in 2 weeks. I want to remind you that Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. You can see the reports and information provided by Action for Healthy Communities at actionslo.org. I want to once again thank Joan Gellert Sargent for underwriting our program. This is a project that really is part of a community that we are glad to be part of. Central Coast Voices and the Community Foundation work with KCBX Public Radio to make sure that this program continues. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org if you have any suggestions about additions to the program or future topics you'd like covered. Thank you to KCBX Public Radio. Thank you to our in-studio engineer, Rachel Showalter, who is in the physical building while we do this remotely in order to keep as many people safe as possible. Thank you to Andrea, Don, and Rita this afternoon for a wonderful program. We'll see you on Saturday at 10:30. This has been Central Coast Voices.